It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeVeonier. Welcome to an hour of comedy. Later on, we'll enjoy the Bob Hope Show with special guest Gracie Allen from 1952. But right now, Art Linkletter and People Are Funny. This episode from CBS first heard on January 5th, 1954.
Who is the better loser, a man or a woman?
It all depends on what they lose on
People Are Funny.
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, brought to you by Forever Yours and Milky Way Candy Bars, both quality bars made famous by Mars. And now here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Hello there, everybody. Well, here it is, a brand new year, our first broadcast of the new year, and guess what? I've made a resolution to be kind, courteous, and considerate to every contestant on People Are Funny through the whole year. Well, Roy Rowan, who's first to prove that I can't keep a resolution?
Mr. Robert Jeffrey from Meriden, Connecticut. Meet Art Linkletter.
How do you do, Mr. Jeffrey?
How do you do, Mr. Linkletter?
Did he say Meriden, Connecticut?
That's right, Meriden.
Well, that's the magic word. You win a big box of dark chocolate goodness, 24 Forever Yours candy bars. What do you do back there?
I work for International Silver Company.
You're a married man, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. You know, we give away some nice prizes on this show.
Yes, I know you do.
How would you like to win a 1954 Hudson Jet with Hudson's instant action super induction engine?
Yeah, I would.
Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Jeffrey, I'm happy to be able to tell you that you are the only person who can't win it. Because this one's an outside stunt for our listeners only. Look at that. Only 1 minute of the broadcast, and I've already broken my resolution to be kind to contestants. Well, anyway, it's better to give than receive. Don't you think so?
Yes, I do.
I hope you believe that. Because, Mr. Jeffrey, your stunt tonight is to make somebody happy by giving them a gift. Now, this is what's going to happen. You're going to leave CBS and be driven out into Hollywood to a residential neighborhood. You're going to pick out any house. That's up to you. You just say, that one right there. We stop the car and you get out and you walk up. Be sure you notice the number of the street and everything, because when somebody answers the door, you tell them that you live at the same number, two blocks over, and that you got a Christmas present, you unwrapped it, and then you saw by the card inside that it was not for you and that you were bringing it over to them. You got that?
Yes, I've got that.
All right, now, then you come over and you hand the person this beautiful antique lamp like this. Here, take it. You dropped it.
You dropped it.
Yeah, I dropped it, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
This is what we want you to do, see? I have some more lamps, like this one.
Well, that's so nice.
Now, you're going to have them in the back of the car. And you're going to take one of the lamps at a time, and you're going to go up to these doors, see? And you're going to say what I told you, that you got the present. And as they reach out for the lamp, you drop it, just like I did. And it smashes into bits right on the porch in front of them. In other words, there are two basic emotions inside the mind of this person at the door. They're happy and grateful to you for being honest enough to bring their present over, and then they're madder than heck because you just busted it in front of them.
I see.
Now, the question is, will they bust you? I think this is going to be an interesting experiment. We want you to take down, as long as you last, the various comments and the reactions of what they do. And then come back and report on how the people reacted when the late Christmas present arrived. Say goodbye to them, audience. Who's next, Roy?
Mr. and Mrs. George Cannon from Fairbanks, Alaska, Art, but they're waiting off stage.
Oh, yes, they're the newlyweds. And down through the last 13 years, some of our very finest guests on this program have been newlyweds. You know why? Newlyweds are a little more self-conscious, a little more easily embarrassed, a little more nervous than anybody else. Now, what we're going to find out tonight is how much Mrs. Cannon, the wife, one of our newlyweds, will sacrifice to keep her husband from doing a very embarrassing thing. Now, we'll give them a test. You'll find out what it is as it goes along. At a certain point, if she will save him from embarrassment at considerable sacrifice to her own self, we're going to give her a surprise gift that she doesn't know anything about. A beautiful Tappan gas range for their new home. All right, boys, bring them out and watch what happens. Because, remember, this is just a test. They don't know what's going on as yet. And our next couple is coming here now, Mr. and Mrs. Cannon. Oh, hello. How do you do, George?
How do you?
Where are you from, George?
Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, the ice is broken up early this winter. What do you do up there?
I have the photo finishing concession at Ladd Air Force Base and photography.
Uh-huh. And Mrs. Cannon?
I work for the Ladd Air Force Base with controller's office.
How long have you been married?
17 days, 23 hours, and 15 minutes.
I'd say that you're in your late 30s.
A little later than that, Art.
Uh-huh. What kept you? Why did you wait so long to get married, George?
Had to find a good girl.
How'd you find her? What was she doing when you found her?
I called a friend of mine to ask her if she would like to go with me to Officer's Club at Candlelight and Wine, and she said that she was busy, but there was a nice gal that came in that she had known in Tokyo. She thought that she would like to go.
Ah, and you made a blind date with him?
It's a good one, too.
Yes. Well, now, you're going to go back to Alaska?
A week from tomorrow.
Yes. I feel sentimental when I talk to newlyweds. I'd like to do something nice for you, Mrs. Cannon.
Thank you.
How would you like a few nice additions to your wardrobe, for instance?
I'd love that.
All right. I'm going to make it easy for you. You're just going to answer a few simple questions and a little quiz. And for every correct answer you give me, I'll add something nice to your wardrobe. How does that sound?
Well, thank you. That's wonderful.
Uh-huh. Mr. Cannon, does this sound like a good deal to you?
Sounds fine.
Well, I'm glad you agree, because the other part of the game goes this way. Every time we add to her wardrobe, we subtract from yours.
Oh, no.
How does that sound?
Not so good.
You may think you're back in Alaska here in a couple of minutes. Now, you remember that, Mrs. Cannon? Well, I'll show you how it works out. For instance, what's your address up there?
821 Northward Building, Fairbanks, Alaska.
That is absolutely right. And you have just won for yourself a pair of lovely ladies' shoes from Forever Yours.
Well, thank you.
Isn't that nice? Oh, by the way, Mr. Cannon, the other half of the game, would you take your shoes off, please? Oh, get a load of those socks. All right, now that's the first part of the game. Now, Mrs. Cannon, here's your next question. Do you know who was the second Assistant Secretary of the Navy?
I don't know.
That is correct. I asked you, do you know? You do not know. That is right. For that, you get a lovely cashmere sweater. Well, Mr. Cannon, you don't have a cashmere sweater on, but you have a coat on. We're paralleling here, so we'll take his coat off. That's fine. She's a pretty smart wife, huh?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Now, Mrs. Cannon, for a new blouse, listen carefully. If Railroad A is 4,157 miles long and Railroad B is 2,237 miles long, which one is wider?
Well, they're the same width.
That is right. They are the same width. And you have just won a beautiful blouse. We'd like to have your shirt, please, if you don't mind. All right. Now we come to a very important question, Mrs. Cannon. Your next prize is a beautiful pair of slacks. How are you today, Mr. Cannon?
Fine, Art.
What is the capital city of Illinois?
Chicago.
You know something? Chicago is not the capital of Illinois. The capital of Illinois happened, does anybody know? Springfield. Now, Mrs. Cannon, did you know that? What was going on? I don't know whether you're deliberately trying to avoid winning these new slacks or whether you're not. Well, I tell you, you've only been married 17 days. Your husband is standing here with his pants on at the moment. But he will lose them here in front of 1,000 people if you answer this question correctly. Also, you'll get a $60 dress for yourself. Now, think these two alternatives over. You got a $60 dress or a husband without pants. Who was the first president of the United States?
I don't know.
Now, folks, folks, just a minute. We don't want to make this too hard. I'm going to give you a hint. He was connected with a hatchet and a cherry tree. You don't want to say, all right? Do you have any ideas?
Go ahead, honey. Say Washington.
You want her to get the dress. You don't care about your pants. You let hers answer the question. You don't want to say?
I don't know.
Look at the dress. Look at the dress. Very beautiful dress. Feel it. She's looking over at her husband. Has a nice feel to it. Silky. Uh-huh. What do you think?
I don't remember.
Well, up to her. Up to her. Mrs. Cannon, this was really a test to see whether or not you would, for a prize, let your husband be this embarrassed. Now, how about reversing the game now? Would you like to have some new clothes?
Yes, I would, Art.
No, we're going to save that for television. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just kidding, and I'm not kidding about this, Mrs. Cannon, because you were a real nice, modest bride, and you did save your husband from embarrassment, even though he wanted you to have the dress, figuring he'd save himself $60. We're going to give you a surprise prize, a beautiful Tappan gas range for your home with the exclusive Tappan features. Isn't that
wonderful?
Nice? Good foods happen when you're cooking on a Tappan, whether you're in Alaska or in the Gulf of Mexico. And thanks for proving that people are funny.
And don't forget to always make yours forever yours.
Well, now who's next, Roy?
Mrs. Margie Neal from Los Angeles. Meet Art Linkletter.
Hello, Mrs. Neal.
Hello, Art.
A very pretty blonde girl, about 24?
25.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Tyler, Texas.
Mm-hmm. You're a married lady.
Yes.
Have any children?
I have two.
We have for you, for the dark chocolate fans in your house, a big box of 24 delicious Forever Yours candy bars. And, you, what business is your husband in, Miss Neal?
Well, he sells for a living.
Mm-hmm. And did you meet him that way?
No, I met him in a radio station.
What were you doing there?
Well, I was in a ladies' trio.
And what was he doing there?
Well, he was the announcer.
You like to talk. That's why you were picked out of the audience, I remember.
I love to.
All right. Now, could you talk about your husband for 1 minute and 30 seconds without making any embarrassing pauses while you thought of things to say?
Just give me a chance.
I'll not only give you a chance, but I'll pay you for it. I'm going to give you $2 a second worth of merchandise from Chicago's famous Spiegel store, and I'm going to give you 90 seconds so you could win $180 worth of anything you want from their big catalog. Now, that sounds easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is easy. There's only one proviso we'll make. Well, really, two. First of all, anytime you pause to think of something to say, I'm going to start counting. One, two, three. And if I can count three, you've lost all the money up to that time, and you must start all over again. Now, you know a lot of nice things about your husband.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I know you'd want to mention those. But the second thing we're going to impose on you is this. Every time that you hear this bell, every time that bell rings, you must switch from whatever you're saying. If it's good, you must switch to bad things without a break, without a pause, and so on, back and forth, every time the bell rings. Mrs. Neal, are you ready?
I think so.
For $2 a second, start telling us about your husband.
My husband has a gorgeous personality. I think he's the most wonderful man in the world. He's not very good with the children, though, because he spanks them, and I don't agree with him all the time. We never have too many arguments, but then when we do have one, he usually wins it. He always opens the door for me when we come into the house, and he arises when I come into the room, but he always picks the softest chair for himself and leaves me with a... Leaves me with a hard bottom chair, else I'm standing. And when we go out for a ride, well, he always opens the car door for me very politely. But he usually catches my dress in the car door and it's ripped. And we go for a lovely ride in the hills. And he says, oh, dear, wouldn't you like to live up here? And I say, yes, that would be wonderful. But then he says, my goodness, it costs $30,000 and I'm only a salesman. What a rotten personality that is. But he's awfully nice. Lots of times when we go shopping, he brings me boxes of candy, but he always waits till we have company for me to open
30
them.
30 seconds.
Uh-huh. It's always lovely candy, and it's always tied with a beautiful ribbon. But the candy bars are usually broken, but then they can...
You must be buying some other kind of candy bar. That's all I got to say.
Keep going.
We ran out of Mars bars yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And where am I?
Better be bad. Starts with a good.
Yes. I had a lovely sewing machine, but he said that I didn't use it often enough, so he was going to put it up for auction.
Time's up, and she did a wonderful job. A wonderful job. I think, Mrs. Neal, that your husband better stay around the house and let you go out from door to door. You're a real good talker, and you've won $180, didn't she, John?
That's right, 90 seconds.
And Spiegel has been satisfying thousands of customers for more than 88 years, and you'll be among them from now on. And thanks from People Are Funny.
And don't forget, always make yours forever yours.
How would you like to get something for nothing? That's the opening line of the confidence men who each year in the United States fleece people out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Actually, that much money is taken from the public. Last week, probing this particular field, we had a special guest of honor on the show who wanted to prove that people will still fall for unbelievably simple rackets. He's been out this last week in the United States swindling housewives for People Are Funny. And wait till you hear what happened. To make it more interesting, we promised that if anybody recognized him as our Mr. X from People Are Funny and accused him to his face of being the swindler we sent out, that person would win for herself a brand new 1954 Hudson Jet. And the compact Hudson Jet is America's most beautiful car for its white weight and price. Where is Mr. X? Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. X, we're calling you that, as you know, so that your real name will not get around. You're looking rather prosperous. Did you have a good week?
I had an excellent week, Mr. Linkletter.
Uh-huh.
Very fine.
Now, you've had experience in working in all kinds of fields where you sell.
That's right.
And you know what the rackets are from the standpoint of what the confidence men use.
I made a study of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. What part of the country did you fly to try the racket during this last week?
I went to the great state of Missouri.
And you stayed in one town or went
around? No, no, I made about, seven little towns. Oh. I looked them all over, seven of them.
Mm-hmm. And you flew out there and back.
That's right.
Find those TWA constellations are mighty comfortable?
Very comfortable.
And the stewardess?
Lovely.
Thank you. What kind of a con game now we can reveal did you play on the housewives?
Well, sir, when I got into Missouri, like I said, I looked over these seven towns and I decided to pick on one of them only, just one town. And I went out and had some cards printed. And I rented a truck, had a sign printed, put it on the truck, got myself a pair of coveralls, and I posed as a rug cleaner.
A rug cleaner?
A rug cleaner.
With a phony name and everything phony about you.
That's right.
All right. Now
what
did you do?
Then I approached one of the homes, a nice-looking place, knocked on the door, and I told the lady that I was in the rug cleaning business. Now that the holidays were over, and I told her perhaps her rug was soiled, and we had a big special deal on. You see, they have an alliance, these rug cleaners, where they charge $20 for the type of rug that she had. Now, this was the rule amongst the rug cleaning association in that particular area. That's what I told her. And I told her that if she'd help me
out... Is this the truth or not?
Oh, no, I made that up. Of course it's not the truth.
Gee, I just about gave him my rug here. And then what happened?
I told her that if she'd help me out by passing out some of my cards. I gave her the business cards, and I said, now look, let me use your name, or you give these to your friends, and instead of charging you $20, I'll charge you $5 to clean this lovely rug.
You put her into business for you, she thought.
That's right.
So then what happened?
So she agreed to that, and her brother-in-law, by the way, was visiting her, and we all helped move the furniture about. We rolled up the rug, and her brother-in-law and myself put it on my truck.
And you drove away with
the rug? No, I didn't drive away. Immediately, I went across the street.
Yeah?
And I told that lady that this one sent me to clean her rug. And she gave it to me.
Now, in other words, what you did was appeal to the cupidity of these housewives in cutting the price and getting their rugs in your truck. How many rugs did you get away with during the week?
Six.
What would those rugs be worth?
I had them estimated already. They're worth about $750.
And those people didn't have your address?
They don't have my address. They didn't know me from Adam. And by the way, I still have the rugs.
As a matter of fact, They didn't call any Better Business Bureau. They didn't check with anybody to find out whether the cards you had printed were real or not.
No, sir, Mr. Linkletter, and to prove that, I brought along the order book. You notice there's no name on the order book at all?
No address.
No address.
Nothing.
Nothing.
All you did was write down the rug and the price and take it away.
That's exactly right.
Well, now, no one then asked you, I presume, that you were Mr. X from People Are Funny.
No one.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the rugs will be returned immediately because we have the list of the names of dresses of the people. And because we did cause these people a little inconvenience, I don't think we better tell their names, do you?
I don't think so. They'd be embarrassed, I'm sure.
We are going to send to each of these people, along with an explanation of how they helped us to help the nation see what a racket can do, we're going to send each of them their rug cleaned. And along with it, the amazing new powerful Lewitt vacuum cleaner that filters the air three times to remove dusty odors. From now on, they'll clean their own rugs. Nobody will get away with them. And I hope that they've learned a lesson, because the next con man they meet, they won't get a prize. They'll probably just lose their shirt. Now, Mr. X, you weren't discovered last week.
No, sir.
Now, that means you fly out on another TWA plane from Hollywood again this week, somewhere to the United States.
Right.
Now, I won't ask you what part of the country you're going to, but what are you going to try next?
I've got a dandy whipped up for next week.
Dandy, a little Jim Dandy. Where are you
going to
work?
I'm going to operate in hotel lobbies, cocktail lounges, bus stations. As a matter of fact, anywhere where the public congregates. And by the way, I'm going to employ a Confederate.
In other words, there'll be two of you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's fine. And you'll do that one?
I certainly will, and not only that, I think I'll do that rug racket again. It was such a doggone good one, I liked it. I'll do it again.
Well, aren't you afraid that now that we've talked about it, they'll know about it?
No, sir. I'd like to prove that in spite of the fact that it's been done and they hear about it, they'll fall for it again.
All right. Now, folks, watch out. If you catch this man this week in some hotel lobby, barber shop, or place where people gather, and you accuse him of being Mr. X from People Are Funny, he'll say yes if it is our Mr. X. And he's a tall man, about 5 feet 11 and a half. Looks a little like Cary Grant, huh?
Could be.
Yes, uh-huh. He'll hand you the keys to a brand new 1954 Hudson jet. And that makes Mr. X worth watching out for. So beware and be ready. And goodbye, Mr. X.
Thank you.
Happy hunting.
Goodbye.
About 25 minutes ago, we sent a contestant out from People Are Funny here at CBS to a nearby residential neighborhood in Hollywood to try an interesting psychological stunt, to deliver china lamps that had supposedly been misaddressed and to break them just as he handed them to the householder. He's back now, so here comes our Mr. Jeffrey. Let's find out what happened. Mr. Jeffrey, a buffer from the Silver Company. This is your first door-to-door work, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
Now, what did you say when the householder came out? You noticed the address, of course.
Well, I told him that I lived in the next block with the same address as they did.
Yeah, and that the package?
That belonged to them.
I see, after you'd opened it.
After I had opened it, the package was theirs, and so, I was bringing it over to them.
So there it was, a great big beautiful china lamp, beautiful. And you're standing there. So, who was the first one that answered the first door?
Well, the first one was a gentleman answered the door.
Uh-huh. And what did you do when you dropped the lamp?
Well, I stepped back, and then his wife ran out, and she was very angry. And she wanted to know who's going to clean it up.
Yeah. Oh, fine. What did the man say?
Oh, man, he was good-natured about it. He just stand there laughing. It's done. He didn't say anything.
Did he? Did he seem at all pleased that you'd think of to bring them over?
Well, he was pleased when I brought it over, but it didn't anger him when it dropped.
He's just happy-go-lucky.
He's just happy.
He doesn't care.
He didn't care whether it was broken or not.
And then she just wanted it cleaned up. Did she feel she lost her present?
Well, I think that's why she was mad, because the lamp was all over the...
Yeah.
Over the
street. So what did you say? You just kind of back away?
Well, I backed away. I apologized for breaking it. I told her I'd go get the lampshade. It was in the car.
Did you?
Well, I got away from there.
Oh, I see. You got back to the car and drove away. Now the second house you went to. How many houses did you go to?
Well, we went to three.
All right, second house. What happened?
The second house was another man.
Yeah?
Well, he was pleased to get it, and he reached out to get it. As he reached out, I dropped it.
Yeah?
Well, gee, he didn't look too mad, but he said he'd take the base and the wiring, that he could use the wiring anyway.
Meantime, the whole bowl is down. Did his wife show up or not?
His wife showed up, too, and she was displeased about the whole thing.
In other words, the women were madder than the men.
Yeah, well, so far, that's the way it was. The women were madder than the men.
And the men seemed to take it with considerable aplomb.
That's the way they took it.
Irv Atkins, come on up here. Here, Irv's our outside man who observes everything from a safe distance, you see. So if anything happens to the contestant, he can come back and tell. Was there anything that he left out?
Well, not at the last house. At the earlier houses, there were a few different things. I think the second man was pretty angry, and the wife at the second house said, well, we're glad to get this lamp until it broke, and then she says, I don't think it belongs to us after all, and walked off.
Oh, she made the best of that. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make those people all very happy. We're going to send, we got their addresses, and we're going to send each of them a bottle of glue to repair those lamps. I'm only kidding. Forever Yours Candy Bars will send each one of them a brand new lamp, and this time the delivery boy won't drop them. And for you, sir, we have... Where do you live?
I live in Meriden, Connecticut.
We are going to send to Meriden, Connecticut, a beautiful 12-cubic-foot Amana freezer made by the century-old Amana colonies in Iowa, guaranteed to outperform all other freezers. It's yours from Forever Yours. Thank you, Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
This program was transcribed from Hollywood.
People Are Funny, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 5th, 1954 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, the producer of People Are Funny was a man named John Goodell, who also got another hilarious program off of the ground, and that was You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx. It was actually Goodell who convinced Groucho that he could do well in an ad-lib capacity on air after watching him as special guest on one of Bob Hope's programs, where during the broadcast, Bob Hope lost his place in the script because he had dropped it, and Groucho did the same and picked up with ad-libs that sent the audience into hysterics. Producer John Goodell happened to be in the wings watching this unfold and decided right then and there that Groucho would be a perfect fit for a new project known as You Bet Your Life. And even though Groucho was very resistant to the idea, Goodell helped make it happen to in turn make radio and television history. And coming up next, an episode of The Bob Hope Show with special guest Gracie Allen. This NBC episode heard on March 25th, 1952.
Hope Show, direct from the Naval Training Center in San Diego, California. Transcribed with Les Brown and his band of renown. For Chesterfield, yours truly, Hi Everback. Our special guests, Gracie Allen, Jerry Colonna, and the Bell Sisters. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, here I am at the U.S. Naval Training Station in San Diego, and these sailors gave me a very peculiar welcome when I arrived here. Now I know where they call them boots. These sailors here are all training. The only water action they've seen up to now was in a San Diego laundromat. I know this area. I get around, boy. And it's no accident that this training station is located in San Diego. Tijuana's so handy for maneuvers. But I want to tell you that during the training period here, discipline is very strict, and the fellas never see any girls. It's so bad, one guy is going steady with his tattoo. But the men really love the Navy. One guy just signed up for another 4 years. I said, are you going to make the Navy your career? And he said, no, I just want to finish paying for my pea jacket. And now I know why a sailor has a girl in every port. With all those buttons, someone's got to do the sewing. But the real big news is that spring is here. This is the time of the year when the birds and the bees follow the sailors and take notes. Spring is the season when little green things start poking their heads out of Crosby's wallet. But I love spring and... What joke are you working on? And it's spring in Washington, and all the Republicans are ready to. Spring had a tough time arriving in Washington. Senator McCarthy saw the first Red Robin and wanted to investigate the whole thing. And Senator Kefauver was first to know it was spring in Washington. His coonskin hat chased a cat up a tree. The Republican cat. Crazy cat. But Taft would love to know how Eisenhower does his spring cleaning. Eisenhower stayed in Paris and he mopped up 3,000 miles away in New Hampshire.
Gentlemen, this week our show originates at the San Diego Naval Training Center. But now, let's go back earlier in the week and see what preparations were made for the show. First, Bob went to see a music publisher to arrange for the appearance of the new hit singing team, the Bell Sisters.
Let's see, the office ought to be right down the hall. Oh, here it is, the Pollock Publishing Company. Must be quite an outfit. They got a fur door knocker.
Let go of my mustache or I'll bite your thumb off.
Professor Kolofna.
Well, a fur door knocker. Well.
Kolofna, what are you doing here?
I'm president of this company.
You are, huh?
Yes.
Well, what can you possibly know about music?
Well, everything. Right now, I'm working on a new number, the Professor Kolofna Suite.
Your suite?
Thanks, Hope. I've always been fond of you, too.
Kolofna, when you get married, pick out a very smart girl or else all your children will be idiots.
Okay, Dad.
Let's not waste time, Kolofna. I understand your company handles the Bell Sisters.
That's right. I believe they're around here someplace. Let's try this recording room.
Oh, you do, yes.
Oh, my mistake. In this room, we're pressing a Sinatra side.
Kolofna, you're actually pressing Sinatra.
You didn't think he looked that way naturally.
Now, what about the Bell Sisters?
Oh, let's try the next room. Oh, wrong again. In this room, I'm just finishing one of the classics. Ah!
Kolofna, what classic were you finishing?
Tchaikovsky's Fifth. Oh, I'm sure the Bell Sisters are in this room. Oh, hello, girl.
Hello, Mr. Kolofna.
Girls, I know you're much too young for this kind of a shock, but this is Bob Hope.
Hello, girls. Which one of you is which?
I'm Kay, and I'm 12 years old. My name is Cynthia, and I'm 16.
16. 16. Boy, how I'd like to be 16 again.
Oh, that's easy. Just divide your age by 4.
Down, you mattress mouth. Well, girls, I'd like very much to have you come to San... Have you seen my fur door knocker? Girls, you're going to snicker all night. I'm not going to snicker. Girls, you're still there, aren't you? Girls, I'd like very much to have you come to San Diego and be on my show.
We'd love to, Mr. Holt.
Well, I think the two of you would add a nice touch. You're so young and fresh, and you seem so unspoiled by your success.
I love being on your show. How about you, Kay? Well, what about the loot?
I love that. 12 years old, loot. I didn't know Crosby had a daughter. Say, Kay, you know I have a daughter just about your age.
Really? What's her address?
Why?
I like to write to her and cheer her up.
This kid's a musical delinquent. By the way, Cynthia, is it true that you wrote the best-selling hit for Bermuda?
That's right, Mr. Holt.
Well, I think that's wonderful. 16 years old and writing hit songs. When did you get interested in music?
I guess I've been that way all my life. When I was a baby, I used to listen to Bing Crosby records.
I got news for you. When I was a baby, I listened to Crosby records. But if you see my fur durnocker, that's what I mean. Girls, let's hear the song you're going to do on the show.
Okay, Mr. Hope.
Half our show, you know. And they're going to come back in the after show. That's wonderful, girls. That's real great. Thank you very much. Hey, look at the time. I got to get back to my house. I'm meeting Gracie Allen there for a script rehearsal.
See you later, Mr. Hope.
Goodbye, kids.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Gracie Allen. Gracie, it's been so long since I've seen you, and I must say you look wonderful.
Well, thanks. So do you.
You haven't changed since the first day we met. You know, you still look like that same sweet girl.
Thank you. So do you.
Well, she's off and running. Tell me, Gracie, how's George?
George who?
George Burns, your husband.
Oh, him. Oh, he's fine. I saw him on a television show last week.
Now, wait a minute. I saw that show. You were on with him.
Last Thursday night?
That's right.
Oh, you know, I wondered who that cute girl was.
Shall we get the rehearsal started? We're way off schedule.
Oh, well, now that's my fault. I'm sorry I didn't get here on time, Bob.
Well, what kept you?
Well, on the way over here, I stopped my car at a street corner. There was a sign that said school crossing.
So?
So, I waited a half hour, no school cross.
That sounds just like a woman driver.
George wouldn't like it if he were married to a man driver.
Look, let's get on with this thing.
As you know, we're doing our broadcast for the Navy, and our writers thought...
You know, my Uncle Harvey was in the Navy.
Oh, swell. Now, we figured...
And Uncle Harvey had a terrible experience in the Navy.
What do you mean?
He tried to enlist.
Well, what's so terrible about that?
They accepted him.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, Gracie, on our show, we're going to do a sketch.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And in this sketch, you play the part of a wave.
A wave?
Yeah, you know, a sailor will wear a skirt.
Oh, do they let them do that?
No, a wave is a lady sailor. Remember, there are lots of women in the Navy.
Oh, well, now that's wonderful. They must be good company for the boys.
No, Gracie, no. The waves do a lot of jobs in the Navy that the men don't want to be bothered with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I understand that perfectly. You know, an admiral wouldn't want to stop what he's doing just to have a baby.
Now, what about our sketch?
Well, and I think an admiral should
now,
do
hold
what
it, hold
supposed...
it, please, please. Excuse me, Gracie, I'd like to talk to Hi for a minute.
Yeah, oh, certainly.
Yeah.
What is it, Bob?
Well, Hi, what am I going to do? I can't get Gracie to concentrate on the script.
Well, I think she's always this way, Bob. There's nothing really wrong with her. Well, I think the trouble is she's not used to working with anybody but George.
Well, how can I get her to relax?
Well, maybe if you talk to her quietly and hold her hand.
Oh, it's worth a try. Oh, Gracie.
Yes?
Would you come here a minute?
Yeah.
Why don't you come over and sit here in the love seat with me?
Down.
What's the matter?
I know you, man. You ask a girl to sit on a love seat, and then you try to put your arms around her and kiss her.
That's not true.
You mean you don't do any of those things?
No.
Well, then I'm not going to sit down.
Oh, come on.
Well, all right.
There. Bermuda got her. Well, all right. Now, just let... Have you seen my fur Gernacker? You haven't.
Hey,
look, honey, let me just hold your hand and put my arm around your shoulders. I just want you to relax, see? Now, put everything out of your mind and just forget everything. Relax, Gracie. Relax. There. Now, how do you feel? No, I put her to sleep. Gracie! Wake up, Gracie!
Oh, good morning, George.
Oh, look, Gracie, we got a show to do. We must rehearse.
Well, we better do it at my house. I've got to get there right away.
Why?
Well, I've got a chicken cooking in the oven, and the gas has to be turned off in 10 minutes.
Well, do you have to do it?
Well, certainly. The chicken will never be able to reach the knob.
What's the idea of calling me over here so suddenly? I was on my way to the market.
Well, there's something very important I have to tell you.
What is it?
Blanche, can you keep a secret?
Yeah?
Well, I'll tell you anyway.
Come on, Gracie, tell me.
Well, all right, Blanche. Now, somebody other than George has fallen in love with me.
Oh, no. Who is it? Who is it?
Well, all I can do is give you a hint. This man... Oh, by the way, did I tell you it was a man?
No, but that's the best arrangement.
Well, anyway, this man is a famous star of stage, screen, radio, and television. His specialty is entertaining troops all over the world. He plays a wonderful game of golf, and his name is Bob Hope.
I wonder who that could be. Well, Gracie, don't stand there and tell me that Bob Hope is in love with you.
Well, I can understand it. After all, lots of older men fall in love with younger women.
Gracie, where'd you ever get this mad idea?
Well, I was over at Bob's house for a radio rehearsal. First he asked me to sit on the love seat, and then he put his arm around me, and he held my hand.
Oh, I'll bet he was just trying to be friendly.
Oh, no, no. You can't fool me. I know men. I read a book all about them.
What book?
The Boy Scout Manual.
Gracie, there's nothing about love or romance in the Boy Scout Manual.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. How do you think they start fires without matches?
Well, I must say you picked a very interesting man for your pipe dream.
Well, he's not really bad looking, is he?
No, he's not. Except for his nose.
Oh? What's the matter with his nose?
Well, didn't you notice it? That big thing sticking out of his face?
Oh, is that his nose? You know, I thought he was wearing a jockey cap.
What are you going to do about the situation?
Well, you know, I don't know what to do. That's why I asked you to come over so we could have a man-to-man talk.
Why don't you just tell him that you're happily married?
No, he wouldn't pay any attention. He's too crazy about me.
Well, Gracie, there's one sure way to get rid of a man.
What's that?
Well, men can't stand having the play taken away from them. They hate aggressive women. That's because they want to be aggressive and forceful.
Oh, you know, that's so true.
You be the aggressor. Fall all over him. Act bold. Look bold.
Look bold?
Yeah. Have you got a real daring dress? Have you got anything that's backless?
Just George.
Yeah, well, do the best you can. Now, Gracie, as soon as Hope steps in the door...
Now, let's see. Gracie's number is 312. I'll just... Oh, hello, Gracie. Here I am, right on time for the rehearsal.
Come in, Bob.
Say, you know, I always try to... Wowee! Gracie, you're all dressed up.
Well, I always try to dress for special occasions.
You even got a poodle haircut.
Yes, I hope it looks nice. I had to do it myself.
Why?
Well, I looked all over town, but I couldn't find a poodle who knows how to cut hair.
That's figured. Well, you certainly do look wonderful, and... Are you wearing perfume?
Yes. You know, the girl at the store said to put some behind each ear, but I could only get a little on.
How come?
Well, you have no idea how hard it was to get my ears in the bottle.
Isn't that just like a woman? Anything for vanity.
Now, don't be disrespectful about women. There are a lot of us, you know.
That's true. Whenever you see someone and it's not a man, you can bet your life it's a woman.
You know something? We think alike.
Yes, I know, and I'm scared. Well, what do you say, Gracie? Should we start the rehearsal? I brought a couple of scripts.
Oh, put those scripts away, Bobby boy. This is it.
What?
There's no use pretending any longer. This is the main event.
Gracie, what are you talking about?
I know you're mad about me, handsome, but you can't help yourself. You're just a moth caught in my flame.
Steady, Gracie.
Oh. Take me in your arms, you fool, and kiss me. You've got just the kind of lips I like. One on the top and one on the bottom.
Boy, I bet you'd look wonderful in a strapless straitjacket.
Oh, don't joke, lover boy. I've got it all figured out. Right after the broadcast in San Diego, I'll slip across the border and you meet me in Tijuana.
Really, Gracie, this is too much.
Well, I'll disguise myself, but you'll know me. I'll be standing on the main street dressed as a cucaracha.
I'll be there with a DDT.
You know?
What?
On second thought, though, maybe we better not go to Mexico.
Why not?
I can't speak French.
Gracie, maybe I'm sick, but I don't get any of this.
Oh, I know. I know you're trying to play dumb just to protect me. But when we're sitting on the love seat at your house, you held my hand. Well, that was a dead giveaway. You're mad about me.
But, Gracie, I was just trying to be friendly and make you feel at home.
Oh? Then you're not in love with me?
No, of course not.
Oh, Oh, gee, that's a load off my mind. Oh, you know, the whole thing was silly. George would never let me run away with you. He'd never forgive me.
I know.
Why, I'm George's life. He'd be lost without me. He'd never let me go. Oh, excuse me, Bob. Hello? Yes? Well, of all the nerves.
Who is that?
George. He says if we'll wait till Sunday to run away, he'll let us have the car.
All thanks for the memory of every new recruit who's now a Navy boot. The way you've trained, you have attained the right to our salute. And we thank you so much.
Yes, sir, thanks to Captain Monroe, Commander McLean, and Lieutenant Tossel for the Navy hospitality here at San Diego. The beans were a hoot. And you know, it's nice having Gracie Allen with us today. And I know the boys will go out of here tonight just trying to figure out. She's great. Thanks to the Carnation Milk Company for loaning us the lady. And the Bell sisters are dolls. These sailors, I'm sure, will attest to that. Also, Brush Kelowna. See you next week. Meanwhile, remember, Chester.
Be sure to listen to the Bob Hope Show next week from Barstow, California, with our special guests, Claudette Colbert and Joanne Greer. Chesterfield is brought to you by the Bob Hope Show, written by Larry Gelbart, Larry Marksman, Larry Klein, and transcribed direct from San Diego, California.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned to Yesterday from March 25th, 1952 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.